I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. The Gospel of the Lord. As you could tell, those who might have been following along, I exercised a bit of license in shortening the passage today because as I continued to read it, the rest of it over the course of the week, it made less and less sense. I mean, all this stuff about the children of light, blah, blah, blah. 99.9% of the commentators agree, which is unusual, that what I just read up to the first portion of verse 8 is probably the story that Jesus told. The rest of it is comment by the author of the Gospel according to Luke. And again, it just got worse as the week went on. So I thought, you know what? Let's just stay with what most consider the original story. Now, having said that, you and I always assume that any story that Jesus tells in one of the Gospels probably has something to do with the kingdom of God, right? I mean, makes sense. He motors around talking about, the kingdom of God is like a woman, or the kingdom of God is like a shepherd, or the kingdom of God is like, fill in the blank. So we just go, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I am pretty sure this story is not about the kingdom of God. Imagine, if you will, just for a moment, Jesus he's moving around the Palestine, up in the north, around the Sea of Galilee. I mean, depending on the story we're reading, he's traveling back and forth by boat on the lake and stopping in different places and having different kinds of encounters with people. Been pretty active so far. Lots of people, lots of need, lots of humanity. Every now and again, he could use a little break. And so now they're sitting around, it's evening. They're on the beach off the Sea of Galilee. Someone has built a fire. They have finished eating the fish that someone else poached out of the Sea of Galilee. And they're sitting around talking. Now, they're living in a war zone. They're living in occupied territory, right? We've established that, hopefully, over the time of the reading of the Gospel according to Luke. And they are talking about life. And it just so happens that one of Jesus' friends just lost his job as a steward to the nephew of the owner of the property for whom he worked, so that the owner of the property could secure, through this nephew of a Roman procurator, all of the wheat harvest for the coming fall, that the owner would get all the contracts. Now, does this sound plausible to you? Yeah. Have any of you actually observed anything like this before in our lifetimes? Right. Yeah. What's really going on, and then knowing that this has happened among his friends, Jesus pops off with this story. And it is a story that is intended not so much to describe the kingdom of God as it is to make fun of the system of patronage that allows people to lose their livelihoods for no good reason whatsoever. And in that context, I can hear Jesus telling this story, sitting around the beach after a meal with his friends, and perhaps some of his enemies as well. And he shares this story, and everybody has a good chuckle because everybody knows how it works. Here's a modern-day version of that same scene. This, again, from the author Eduardo Galeano, who's a South American author, kind of has a whole different spin on the world from the Southern Hemisphere, which I've been enjoying tremendously this year and reading his book entitled Children of the Days. It's a daily meditation. And this particular story came up on September 15th, and it is entitled Adopt a Banker. And it goes like this. In the year 2008, the New York Stock Exchange tanked. Hysterical days, historical days. The bankers, those cleverest of bank robbers, had sucked their businesses dry, though none of them was ever caught on security camera, and no alarm was ever tripped. By then, a widespread crash was unavoidable. The collapse ricocheted around the world. Even the moon was afraid of being laid off and having to relocate to another sky. The magicians of Wall Street, experts at selling castles in the air, stole millions of homes and jobs, but only one of them went to prison. And when they hollered at the top of their lungs for help, for the love of God, their zeal was honored with the largest reward ever paid in human history. That mountain of money would have fed all the hungry people in the world, dessert included, from here to eternity. The idea occurred to no one. We have in our culture and in our world a system of patronage, the kind that Jesus was making fun of and calling out, that we've become very comfortable with. I mean, we know how it works. We know who controls the markets, and we know, we've heard the story, you've read the articles, how all that has happened, and how people's lives and livelihoods and homes and families have been destroyed, and we're comfortable with it because we know, we're smart people, we know how it works. I mean, we know how the world operates, right? And what's what is kind of stark in the light of this story that Jesus tells about the dishonest steward is that we know how the world operates and how it works. What we're invited to remain mindful of is that that is not how God works. And that how the world works, that we're very comfortable with, is in some ways antithetical to the way that God works. And so, we have a couple of choices that we can make. I mean, we can get, you know, all up in arms and say, oh my God, you know, we finally figured it out, we smoked it out, and all these people who are running away with, you know, the wealth of our nation and what have you, and we can get all worked up, and that will get us nowhere. But we can, you know, sort of justify our resentment and carry it with great pride and, you know, wear it like a badge of honor and, you know, find people who are convinced as we are, and, you know, we're in solidarity and all that good stuff. And what that speaks to is a comfort with the way the world operates. There's another choice we can make, and that is more in line with how God would have things and how God would order the world. And as people of God, you and I are invited to reflect the way that God would order the world. And the focus then becomes, you know, not all the bad guys. We get all that. And yeah, do we hold out for justice? You bet. And do we work for a world that is where those who are less fortunate are given, you know, a shot at a full life? Absolutely. You know, everything in our power. I mean, you know, we've, in some ways, we've dedicated our property here at St. Peter's to that sort of a thing. Think of circles. Think of our involvement with FISH, you know, other organizations who are looking for a better way for those who have less. In other words, based on this story, this joke, in effect, that Jesus tells, you and I can take the opportunity to use our material goods for the benefit of those who are less fortunate than us in all kinds of shrewd and sometimes sneaky ways, in ways that others don't even have to know about. I mean, the kinds of initiatives that we might be supporting around the community, or figuring our own incomes and our own finances so that chunks of our own income go towards the support of the church, which is dedicated to the mission of the relief of the poor, and on it goes. Dedicated to other organizations that are looking to relieve poverty and hunger around both in our own community and around the world. You and I can do that. We can do that right now, today, regardless of what Wall Street does, regardless of what the bigwigs decide to do. We can live, you and me, in the light of the agenda of God and in our seemingly insignificant, small, and insignificant ways, we, you and me, can make a difference. Amen. Take a deep breath. And then a few more.